Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Tangled takes the leap and the hair from hit Disney movie to Disney Channel animated series Friday. Executive producer Chris Sonnenberg joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Across the Atlantic Ocean, we go later this hour to find Dean Dobbs. He's the dean of Jack and Dean of All Trades, now in its second season on full screen. And from there, we'll introduce you to Cosplay Melee, the latest competition from Sci-Fi's Corner. Our guide, executive producer Ian Mallahan. The cosplay starts playing out tomorrow. Also ahead, our Clacker Trivia question of the week. Happy first day of spring, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. 48 degrees top of the hour here in the New York metro area, and we welcome you on this first day of spring to the program All About Television. Glad to have you aboard. We have 90 minutes of a lot of fun and some wonderful guests coming your way, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Raise your voice. Use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's been anywhere you're catching this across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. And we got chat room open as well. You'll find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and Simon Apple 04 by name. And already in the room, we have guests 1576 and 1772. So get in the room, get on the phone. Either way, we get you on the air. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow instructions, and other people can be live with you. Before we get to our first guest, some news note quickies. Makeover number 2 of Top Gear, America Centric, will debut on BBC America later this year. Makeover number 1 of the long-running BBC Car Showcase ran on History Channel from 2010 to 2016. Red Entertainment will organize a series based on the popular Janissary Tree Mysteries taking place during the Ottoman Empire. The program was produced in English and produced in Turkey. And Comedy Central will go forward with a second season of Detroiters, which we featured on this program earlier this year. You can catch that episode at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or on the podcast version through iTunes and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. And that's news notes for today. In case you haven't heard, Beauty and the Beast made $170 million at the box office just in the United States this past weekend. It is the largest opening so far this year for a film and the largest in history for a G or PG rated movie. And that's not all that's happening over at the folks at Disney. This Friday night, another Disney animated favorite is also going to morph into something different. Not an animated film, but an animated series. It is Tangled, the Rapunzel story that found so much favor among the American public and the world public a few years ago. The program premieres this Friday night on Disney Channel at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an radio exclusive, the co-developer and executive producer of Tangled, the TV series, Chris Sonnenberg. Chris, congratulations. Welcome in.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here. Hello, everybody.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you aboard. How long has the idea of turning Tangled into a TV series been in the works?
Well, I think certainly after the movie came out, there was a lot of interest in continuing her story in some way. And I know Gary Marsh, who is the president of Disney Television, it's one of his favorite movies of all time. So he very much wanted to be able to take a swipe at it. So I think it circled around for a few years before it was brought to me to develop into a series.
And when you and your production team got wind of this and got on the project, what's the first thing that came into your mind in terms of how you make the transition or the translation of taking a hit movie like this, which made zillions at the box office, and Beauty and the Beast live action is doing right now, and turning it into a TV series that people will watch in a very timeless manner?
Sure. Well, the first thing that really became evident to us was how to bring her hair back, of course, like who is Rapunzel without 70 feet of long blonde hair was the first question. And immediately after that question was raised was, what does it mean and how do we do it in a way that makes sense and honors the original movie and actually can propel Rapunzel into an entire series of stories that can make sense to everybody.
Was there a certain way or a certain direction you wanted the character Rapunzel to go?
You know, well, we knew where we were going because we have these two great pieces of storytelling, Tangled and then Tangled Ever After, where it was a theatrical short that came out a few years after the movie, where Rapunzel and Flynn Rider or Eugene Fitzherbert get married. Our story actually takes place in between those two stories. So we definitely wanted to have a story that made sense in between those two pieces of storytelling, and being able to bring her hair back and then remove it again in a way that meant something to both of those characters was very important and should make sense to all of the huge fans of Tangled and Rapunzel.
Yeah. So with that in mind, and so I'll throw a pun in here, how do you get down with the letdown of her hair? How do you keep stretching the hair story?
Of course. Well, again, that was a giant question for us and a huge challenge to be able to say, okay, since we get it back, how do we keep it back? How do we keep Rapunzel on a trajectory towards answering some large questions in her life? And, you know, we had a lot of discussions of, like, what if she cuts it off? What does it mean to her? So it became very obvious in the very beginning to give her something that she couldn't run from. And if she couldn't cut her hair off, she had something that she definitely had to face and actually have to cope with in her life before her hair could be removed again. So it was a matter of setting up a large story and a large mythology that at a certain point had to come to an end before her hair would be able to be cut.
I want to welcome guest 1882 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or a comment, put it in the room. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we'll get you on because what you say matters. Chris, from there, how do you take the other characters, the prince, the other characters of the Kingdom of Corona, how do you develop them so that they can withstand multiple plots and multiple developments in the story?
Well, what's nice about the series is that we have time to develop each of these characters. You know, we don't just have an hour and a half of a movie that we have to kind of blow out and resolve within, say, 90 minutes. We actually have a series that we can grow characters out, shrink them down, be able to tell a story that makes sense to Rapunzel and makes sense for her trajectory. And what we like is that we have the time to be able to grow these characters, grow you know, her father in a very specific way, and grow Eugene Fitzherbert in a very specific way. We all have there's a story that's being told in a very large way, but inside of that large story, there are small stories that we can blow up and have a little bit more fun with. Again, how does Maximus deal with all of this, and how does Pascal deal with what's happening, and what is their viewpoints of everything? It hopefully the mythology that we have opened up allows for a lot of our characters to have opinions on.
Chris Sonnenberg is the co-developer, executive producer, supervising director of Tangled, the Disney Channel television series. It premieres this Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And Chris joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you from that other coast known as New York. We have a lot of hair on this side of the Atlantic, I might add, too. And we're happy to have you with us on this first day of spring 2017. You have a question or comment, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We go unscripted on our next episode Friday afternoon at the same hour. Our lead guest is going to be one of the top people in the unscripted world. He's Phil Siegel, the Chief Executive Officer of Fremantle Media Division Original Productions, whose credits include Deadliest Catch going into its 12th award-winning season on Discovery Channel next month. And then we'll have the executive producer of Nat Geo Wild's The Incredible Dr. Paul, who before this month is over, we'll have 100 episodes under the belt. Ted Duvall will be with us. That is next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. One thing that a lot of people are very happy about with Tangled is that the two voice leads of the movie are back. We're talking about Mandy Moore and Zachary Levi. Was it easy to get them involved on a weekly basis with this?
No, it was not easy to get them back. We are very happy to be able to have the original voices of Rapunzel and Flynn Rider back, but it was not easy. They did not just come in and sign on the dotted line. We definitely had to convince not only Zach and Mandy, but also Alan Menken and a lot of the original cast that what we had planned for these characters was meaningful and had a large voice and had had an opinion that they all agreed with, and they were all, you know, open ears and they had viewpoints of stuff that they were concerned about. And I think once we got through some of our first initial meetings with them, we all came to the agreement that we love these characters. We all have something large that we want to say with them. And they were very happy to get on board once we showed them the large infrastructure of the story, if you will.
Of course, Moore is having a big season as the co-star of This Is Us, the acclaimed drama or dramedy on NBC, which just wrapped up its first season. Was it difficult to try to work her voice work on your series with what she's doing on This Is Us?
No, not at all. She was so easy and so fun to be able to work with. She loves this show. She loves working with all of us. So being able, and plus I think they shoot it close here. They do it here in town. So it was a little bit easier to get her, knowing that she wasn't in another state or another country. We had pretty good access to her, and she's a lot of fun to work with.
Now, you're working with quite a few people who have had big achievements in the animation world, both TV and movies. Your co-partner, Shane Prigmore, who did a little thing called The Lego Movie, which itself was a monster hit. So was the sequel, dealing with Batman. You've got Vader Balistari, who did How to Train Your Dragon for DreamWorks. You've got Jesse Ricci, who did Pen Zero Part-Time here, which we covered a year or so ago on this program. And you even have Claire Keane, the person who did the murals that were a big highlight of Tangled, the feature movie. And she's involved in a very unusual way. Explain her contribution.
You know, Claire and I have been friends for many years. You know, she has background. We actually worked on the movie Enchanted together, and I worked on Enchanted. So working with her on that was, I think, one of the first times we had met. But we've been friends for many years, and I, when given the first few phone calls I made on this show were to Claire and getting her opinion on what we should do with the show and getting her opinion of who Rapunzel would be after the movie. She's been such a great partner and such a great creative force on the show. She really was involved in helping me kind of come up with the art direction. We have an amazing art director on our show, but Claire really helped kind of form the large moving parts of what the colors would look like and what the art style would look like. She was very vocal in a lot of those regards.
The art director you just talked about, Alan Bonner, who did another classic animated film called The Iron Giant that a lot of people
absolutely
still remember.
Yep.
So when you have all these people who have come from different backgrounds, whether they've worked at Disney or at DreamWorks or Warner Brothers or other places, how do you bring them together to make a consensus about how you do a series like this?
You know, I think the common denominator with all of these guys is wanting to tell a great story with great characters. And we had such a great foundation of great characters with Rapunzel and Flynn Rider and the mythology of Tangled, that being able to take such a great base of story that Nathan Greno and Byron Howard laid out in the first movie, being able to take those stories and take that mythology in a single direction beyond the movie was something that everybody felt like they had a personal investment in, especially, you know, of course, Claire, having worked on the original movie, she had a very unique perspective of who Rapunzel was and what she would be doing outside of her tower. And I think everybody, once they saw the plan for the mythology, all had a very unique take on how they would solve some of the story issues. So, you know, Ben Balistrieri looking at the character design, or Alan Bodner coming up with how he would treat the color design. Getting everybody on board with a singular vision was very important, and we did that very early.
Let me ask you about Enchanted. because it's one of my favorite recent Disney films. And everything about it just worked. The live action, the shot, thing was shot in New York, Amy Adams' performance, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a little link I have about one of the people who's in the movie. I'll talk about that in a second. But what was the feeling as you – and you were doing the animated sequences, I believe, for this movie, correct?
Uh-huh, yes.
What was it like to do that film, and what did the experience of doing that animation teach you about doing a show like this? So just about the idea of adapting or expanding the world of Disney animated characters in television.
You know, I think there's a great commonality between the two stories in the production's love of hand-drawn animation, or just a general passion for animation in general. You know, what I learned on Enchanted was to be true to the characters, to be very true to the style. Give somebody, you know, the audience needs to have an emotional response when they look at the art direction. Of course, with Enchanted, it was very much to re-inspire or to evoke a feeling of classic Disney animation. And I think when we're, you know, taking that idea into something like Tangled, the series, we want to be able to honor the original feelings and the emotion that people had associated with the original movie, and really build upon that. So, like on Enchanted, you know, we were really trying to make it feel like it was the best of the 1950s or 1960s Walt Disney movies. And you really want to kind of get that sense heightened. It's the best version of any of those movies that could have come out. And, you know, when we're doing the series, the Tangled series, we're trying to get that feeling of the best version of a television version of Tangled that we can do. So it's always trying to, like, give everybody more than what they expect and give them a little bit more than what they would have in their mind for the show.
Did everybody have a sense of how big that film was going to be, or how good it was going to be, whether it was Amy Adams' performance or the chemistry she had with Patrick Dempsey, the other major actors, the dance numbers, Stephen Schwartz's score, which had three songs nominated for Oscars, which is a rarity for any movie to get. Was there a lot of feeling off the bat that, boy, this is going to be something extra special?
You know, we were in California while they were filming in New York, and we had daily meetings with the production. Certainly looking at the scale of what they were shooting live action in New York against the scale of what we were doing, James Baxter and our studio was doing in California, we knew that this, you know, seeing the scenes coming back in live action and seeing our scenes coming out in the animation and seeing how beautiful both were working together, I think we all kind of had a sense that this was going to really hit a chord with huge fans of Disney feature animation as well as the wonderful Disney live action movies.
Yeah, it's a terrific film. And if you watch the number that was shot in Central Park with 150 dancers, you will see a wonderful dancer for like 2 seconds with a great smile. Her name is Vanessa Villalobos. She comes from Seattle. At one point when that film was done, she was living in New York. She's now back in Seattle with family, and she's a fantastic dancer. I know because I've danced with her at ballroom dance socials and seen her teach it. She was at a place called Dance Times Square on 44th Street, not far from where that manhole was in 80 Adams and characters popped up.
That's so fun.
From animation live action. And so, Vanessa, you are now on for posterity. It's a pleasure, and happy, and she just had her birthday, by the way, so happy birthday, Vanessa.
Oh,
and,
happy birthday.
And congrats on that film. Yeah. What?
Oh, I just was saying happy birthday.
Oh, great. Thank you. And Vanessa will appreciate that. Wonderful person, by the way, and a fantastic dancer. Not just ballroom, but anything. She's one of those people that can do it all and do it great. We're talking with Cliff Steinberg. He is the co-developer, supervising director, and executive producer of Tangled, the new Disney Channel animated series from the film that premieres this Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. He's live from Los Angeles with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. I'm an Apple family with you live from New Haven, New York. 48 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment? Don't be shy. Raise the voice and check in at 646-652-2906 or our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. When we continue the program, my lead guest is another of the breakout stars that are all over television. Her new series, Rebel, premieres next Wednesday on BET, first of two series developed by the award-winning director, John Singleton. It's called Rebel, and her name is Danielle Monáe Truitt. You will really enjoy hearing her, and wait till you see her next Wednesday on BET. She gives a very powerful performance in the lead role. We'll also check out a TV series that has had a very big rise in the last couple of months. It's produced here in New York called Live from Studio 6B. It's running on broadcast stations and simultaneously on smart TV sets and devices. Co-host Vincent Fuda will be aboard. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Let's talk about some of the other people that are involved with the voices on the show. You have a very interesting guest voice cast from a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of hit shows.
Yeah. You know, I looking at our cast and kind of going into the casting process, it was very obvious to me. One of my biggest passions growing up as a kid is going to see Broadway musicals or big theatrical musicals. And so I knew, kind of looking at some of the DNA with the movie, that there was going that I wanted a very big Broadway presence on the show. So we were very lucky and very fortunate to get Eden Espinosa as Cassandra on our show. She's one of the new main characters in the story of Tangled, and she has a wonderful theatrical background. She actually played Elphaba right after Idina Menzel in Wicked, and she has come on to play Cassandra on our show. But her just presence, her Broadway presence, and her voice is just so rich and so has so much texture to it that it really it was difficult to find somebody that could live in the same voice space as Mandy and Zach and some of the other characters. But being able to have someone like Eden come on has been so great, and she's been such a natural fit to the cast. And this coming week we have a new character named Varian. And he's voiced by another amazing Broadway performer, Jeremy Jordan, who was the lead in Newsies. And, again, having such a great presence, Broadway presence, has really added a great level of texture and just brilliance to our show on the voice end.
By the way, another Broadway star who's also involved in a guest role, you currently can see her in Supergirl on the CW, but she's one of Broadway's super talents at the moment, Laura Bernardi. Can sing.
Yeah,
can
she was great too, yeah.
Going.
Yeah, so yeah, she played our big villain in Tangled Before Ever After, the Disney Channel original movie, as a great villain. She has an amazing voice as well. So I love being able to bring in some of these great actors from Broadway and also on television. Jeremy Jordan is also on Supergirl, so we have kind of a little Supergirl family growing on our show as well. So it's been really great.
What's the involvement with Alan Menken? Is he going to contribute songs on a regular basis or on some specific episodes? What's it been like working with him?
Absolutely. He is such a great partner on our show. What we wanted to do, since I am such a large nerd when it comes to musicals and, of course, Disney musicals, is really have the music play a very specific role in the show in telling the character's heart and telling the character's emotional compass in the show. And so there's not a lot of those that really happen for Rapunzel and Eugene or some of the main characters. So what we wanted to do is really have them be special. So what we have is a season premiere, which was the Tangled Before Ever After. We have a mid-season special that we're going to do, and then a season finale. And that's really where the music really has the biggest impact and really the biggest role. And Alan Menken has graciously carved out time in his super busy schedule to contribute some very meaningful songs that have a large role in the show as we progress.
Tangled, the Disney Channel original series, premieres this Friday night. That's March 24th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local news for whether Disney Channel is in your area on cable and satellite. For more details online, here's where you go, www.disneychannel.go.com. It's www.disneychannel.go.com. And if you missed the movie, Tangled Before Ever, which is debut on Disney Channel earlier this month, guess what? You're luck. It is still running on Disney Channel's video on demand platforms on cable and satellite. You can also get it on the Disney Channel app. And starting April 11th, it will be released as a DVD along with 4 animated shorts as well. So check that all out. More details again on the Disney Channel's website. Craig Steinberg, pleasure to have you with us. Congratulations on getting Tangled, the series, off the ground. I have a hunch it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful and long run, just like the long hair Rapunzel. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard. All the greatest.
Thank you so much. Tune in this Friday. So much talking to you, and I hope the fans and everybody gets a chance to take a look at the show. It is super special.
And I think when they do, they will like it very, very much. Thanks to you and your wonderful production team and all the voices and so forth. Chris, take care. All the greatest.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You got it. Chris Sonnenberg, the supervising director, co-developer, and executive producer of Tangled, the series on Disney Channel, joining us live from Los Angeles. More and more will be televised coming your way, but first, some words from our wonderful people at Audible.com. One of the Oscar-honored with a nomination films that came out that was on the Oscars a few weeks ago was A Man Called Obey. Well, that came from a book, and the audiobook version is now available through Audible.com, narrated by a terrific actor, George Newbern. Remember him when he was on Bull many years back on TNT. TNT's first original drama series, by the way, which also has some other people, including Elizabeth Rome, who later became big famous, one of the Law & Order ADAs, a long number of years later. You can get A Man Called Obey for any audiobook of your choice from a wide variety of selections and categories through Audible.com. All you have to do is go to this URL and sign up, audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, you can listen to them on any device, whatever ever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, all the URL information you need, you get one free audio book, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So give yourself the opportunity for an audio experience that can last a lifetime. AudibleTrial.com/televised. AudibleTrial.com/televised. Audible.com, an Amazon company, and what a sound difference it can make for you, your life, and other people's lives as well. And now it's time for our regular feature, the Crackers Trivia Question of the Week. We are holding over the question we started last week into this week. And here it is. In what TV movie did Columbo first appear? In what TV movie did Columbo first appear? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you are from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you might win a prize for the response. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you just missed the question a moment ago, don't worry. I will post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So play. You never know. You might win. And for certain, if you win on Friday, we will announce you and where you're from as our latest winner. We've had three winners so far, two in the last month and change, and we're going for winner number three in that time period. So remember, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Get in there and win. We appreciate it, and all the very best. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program All About the Two, with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Coming up on Friday, Unscripted Edition, with Original Productions Chief Executive Officer Phil Siegel. That's the Fremantle division that does a wide variety of unscripted shows, including the award-winning Deadliest Catch, the research for Sprout, Breaking Season on Discovery Channel. And we'll also have From the Incredible Dr. Paul coming up on 100 episodes later this month on Nat Geo Wild, executive producer Ted Duvall. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And again, next Monday, my lead guest will be the star of the new BET series, Rebel, executive produced and overseen by John Singleton, Danielle Monáe-Truitt. And from the new daytime series, Live from Studio 6B, available either on local stations or on smart TV sets and devices, depending on who you are, co-host Vincent Buda. That's next Monday, March 27th, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we hope to maybe have three episodes next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all at this hour. When we come back, we're going live to London, and we're going to speak with one half of the duo behind Full Screen's hit, Jack and Dean of All Trades. Dean Dobbs joins me next after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You want to listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Kia D Unplugged Show. Check out what Kia D and her gang are up to tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best of ETR 24/7 at YouTube.com and anytime on the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. Our show, other Blog Talk Radio hits are there, and they're there for you anytime you like. Remember, that's Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Welcome back to Maury Televised Nightly Edition on this Monday of the first day of spring. That's March 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Glad to have you aboard. Another great hour coming your way with guests from across the Atlantic and back here as well. And if you have a question or comment for them, we invite you to be involved at 646-652-2906. Or you go to chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Our very good friend Rick Webb is in the room. One of full screen's biggest success stories so far in its year available on the tube is a show called Jack and Dean of All Trades. It's about two people who are trying to make it in the world of jobs, in any kind of job they can. And, of course, well, you know, they run into mishaps. Full screen, by the way, is a service that is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And some of the programming is also available on AT&T's Uverse cable systems, on DirecTV's Audience Network. Joining us live from London, another NRA exclusive, where it is now prime time in that neck of the world, we welcome in the co-star, co-executive producer, co-writer, co-director, and anything else you want to keep in mind, Dean Dobbs. Hi, Dean.
Hey, how you doing? You good?
Very, very fine, thank you. And we just want to say we were hoping also that your colleague Jack Howard would be aboard. Unfortunately, he could not make it, but we wish him the greatest as well. And first of all, congratulations on the second season. I believe you're the first full-screen series to get a second season. What's been the American reaction to your show?
The initial reaction has been quite positive, which is, I'm a pretty self-deprecating guy anyway, so it's been surprising. It's been great so far. People are finding it funny, which is the main thing, and also they're enjoying themselves. That's been pretty much it, really. They're having a good time, which is all we could ask for, I think.
I've seen clips of the show, and it's very clear that you and Jack had a marvelous time generating the laughs in your roles as people trying to just make it in some sort of job, any job Doc will do. What inspired the series?
Me and Jack were we met each other when we were about 14, something like that. We met in school, math class and stuff. I made fun of his Green Day sticker and stuff. But obviously Green Day are great. But pretty much what inspired it is that we were always making YouTube videos, and our That was our main passion, because we love film and we love to, pay homage to that. And also we want to make, big films. I want to be in Star Wars one day. But our parents and stuff were saying, it's all well and good that you're doing these YouTube videos, but when are you going to get a proper job? It's based on that sort of idea of fighting for your, as cheesy as it sounds, like fighting for your dreams and stuff. And, we were kind of like, what if Jack and Dean didn't quite get what they wanted? It's pretty much about how those two versions of ourselves would cope with more sort of mundane jobs. Obviously, there's a little bit more of a manic plot line, no spoilers, in the show. But it's just based on, I think the show is just me and Jack, but we didn't do YouTube, basically.
A lot of the classic British shows, including shows that are adapted for America, like Sanford and Son, shows like Doctor in the House, even a serial like EastEnders, there's a connecting theme of people who are trying to get by day to day in unique jobs or jobs that are like standard professions, whether it is, in the case of Sanford and Son, junk dealers, which, of course, is Steptoe and Son in England, or in the case of EastEnders owning a bar, the case of Doctor in the House, being in medical school, and so on and so forth. Did any of those classic British shows inspire both you and Jack to take your series in a particular direction?
I would always say, there's a classic British show called Only Fools and Horses, which plays on that very much. Like the Jack and Dean dynamic is the classic funny guy, straight guy. And Only Fools and Horses is a big, big example of that. Jack's dad in particular is like a huge fan. So we had to I feel like it sort of subconsciously influenced us. And also, I would say it's a little more recent, but at least for me, it was a big influence. There's a comedy duo called The Mighty Boosh, and they make some incredibly surreal comedy. When you see it, it looks like a children's show, but when you watch it, it is one of the most multi-layered, bizarre things that you've ever seen. But it is it's particularly hilarious. And also, like, classic comedy doers like Laurel and Hardy are like a huge influence on us, because you've got to look on what came before you in order to progress in what you did and what you're doing right now. I'd always say me and Jack have always like looked at the sort of funny guy, straight guy dynamic and thought, what can we do to like add our own little twist? That's kind of it, basically. I would say Laurel Hardy, Mighty Boosh, and Only Fools and Horses are the three key pillars of our comedy, I would say.
Did you and Jack decide immediately when you got the go-ahead to make this series, what characters you want to play, either you being the funny guy, you being the straight guy, or was there had to be some experimentation going on to see, like, which character you could fit into best?
Well, it's funny. Like, I've always been a little bit of a freak. Like, I'm a bit of a weirdo, and I don't mind admitting that. But, like, Jack is, his work ethic is insane. He is a machine. So he's definitely the more the sensible one, just in real life. And I'm a little bit, I don't know, a bit of a lazy bum, I would say. I'm a little bit odd. Like, I love, one of my favorite passions is animation, stuff like that. I've always been a bit more of a quirky individual. So it wasn't really that hard to, figure out who was going to do what. It's always been what we've sort of done on our YouTube channel and stuff. But it's, I think, I mean, even in real life, it's like it's a joy to talk to Jack, because he is funny and he is silly, but he's definitely a more well put together adult than I am, and it's almost a little bit, he's not my dad, but it feels like I am talking to a version of that, a very authoritative figure, but he also happens to be super funny. So in terms of our real life personalities, it wasn't too hard to figure out who's going to do what, but yeah.
One of the funniest British comedies ever was Fawlty Towers. John Cleese playing this hotel owner, kindly his wife at the time, Connie Booth, who created the show with him, plays the owner's wife. They have this character, Manuel, as like everything that could go wrong in running a hotel, from Cleese's attitude to the guests, to his employees, etc., to what took place at various times. Just went wrong. Did you want that kind of comedy, that kind of like broad slapstick, you know, anything for a laugh, and it all goes, you know, everything's haywire?
Yeah. With the Jack and Dean stuff that we do on YouTube, it's all very situational based comedy. And when we were coming to write the series and realized we needed to, you know, tell a sort of a bigger narrative, we were kind of like, how do we sort of preserve the Jack and Dean situational stuff, because obviously if you're telling like a singular narrative, it's kind of hard to accommodate different unique scenarios and all of that. And we came up with this idea that they would be temps. So every week they were doing a different job, and obviously a different job means different situations and different jokes to come up with. So figuring out that being temps was the best thing we could do was a great way to like sort of facilitate the situational comedy, because you would just go, what if they were vets? And then you'd think about what could possibly happen if they were vets, or, you know, at a hospital, for example. It was just a case of just thinking about what job would be and what jokes could come from it. We went through so many different professions. Like, we even considered astronauts at one point, and we were kind of like, how in the world could you justify these two 20-year-olds going to space? How could you do that? We kept it grounded. But I think that's part of the fun, is that you take these really mundane situations and mundane jobs and think, what's the most like sort of over the top day for an average person? And you know, how can you add your little Jack and Dean sparkle to it?
We're speaking with Dean Dobbs live from London. He is the Dean of Jack and Dean of All Trades, Jack being Jack Howard, and they are on Full Screen in their second season, which started last week. Full Screen is the service that's available on smart TV sets and smart devices, but also some of their programming, and I believe Jack and Dean is part of it, is also available on AT&T's Universe cable system and on DirecTV through the Audience Network, which has a certain block of time every day devoted to Full Screen programming. As I mentioned, Dean joins us live from London in an intermediate exclusive interview this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're aboard on this first day of spring. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, the program All About the Tube. If you have a question or comment for Dean, don't be shy. Raise the voice and give us a call at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, by name, our very good friend from Philadelphia. Rick Webb is in the room. Wonder what Philadelphia is doing, given that Villanova, one of the top seeds in the NCAA men's tournament, shockingly lost. Maybe shocking, maybe not that strong a word, what took place yesterday on the court of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. By the way, coverage of that championship continues this Thursday and Friday with regional semifinal action on CBS and TNT, and on radio on Westwood One. You can check it out on local radio stations across the country like WFAN here in New York, or you can go online to westwoodonesports.com, either get the national version with whip-around action and most key games, as well as individual games with individual coverage from start to finish. That's all on westwoodonesports.com. Again, it's Tom Appleman with you live from New York. And if you're just joining for the first time, we've been doing this show now for nearly 10 years. We marked that decade anniversary in August, first week to be exact. And if you want to check out our recent episodes, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we have a podcast version available on iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Either way, when you get the podcast, you can download to your smartphone or tablet, take us on the go, and have other people share those TV love with you. That's Tomorrow Be Televised and Blog Talk Radio on iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you go to Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Did you and Jack do a lot of research in terms of the jobs that you would have each episode?
We would, because obviously we didn't want to, sully the beautiful work that individuals do, because, you know, at the end of the day, we write comedy, and, like, you know, writing scripts is hard work, but we wanted to make sure that there was, like, certain moments that people who work in those particular professions could actually understand, like, on their own, you know, like an inside joke, I would suppose. In terms of real life work, Jack has never worked a real day in his life, so he had to do a bit of research. I thankfully had worked in like cafes, clubs, and stuff like that. But it was just a case of like making sure that we didn't trivialize people's jobs, because you know jobs are hard work. You know, yeah.
Were any of the plots based on family experiences, like your father was this, your mother was that, your sister ended up this, you know, in a temporary situation?
Sorry, say that again?
I'm saying, were any of the jobs that you featured, either first season or this season, were they based on family experiences? Like your father had this job for a while or for most of his life, or your mother had this, or Jack's mother or father had that, or... Jack's brother found himself in this particular job situation.
There's a handful of moments that are sort of inspired by real life occurrences. But one of the main things we always want to do when it came to writing the show was make sure that their jobs. I kind of said with that astronaut thing that you make sure that Jack and Dean are always working jobs that most people can, a majority of people can relate to. Like our parents have always they're not architects or anything like that, but they work hard, they do relatively mundane jobs. We channeled like their sort of their work ethic and made sure that what Jack and Dean were doing was realistic and relatable. That sounds like a buzzword, but it's like, you know, make sure it's relatable, make sure they're grounded. I will say, a large majority of manual jobs are definitely inspired by like my dad, because he's very much a earn your keep, work hard, because we do a creative job, even though that's obviously a lot of work. we still wanted to go. Well, you know, creative job is not as hard as you know, picking up bricks and laying them down. But we were like, no, we need to still pay homage to that sort of stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Very nose of the grindstone, Dean. Did any of you see a series called Dirty Jobs?
No, I haven't actually. Is it good?
It's a series that Mike Rowe did for Discovery Channel for a long time, and it was like going every week to like this dirty job that like very few people want to do for a living, and
oh,
he
wow,
gets
okay.
a chance to experience it. And I was curious whether that if you, either of you had the opportunity to see that show, and if that inspired some episodes.
Well, I would say maybe not necessarily specific job, but I would say in terms of as silly as it sounds, working a lot of the actual jobs and scenarios within like sort of context of the scene were pretty hard. Like in the first season, we did a bakery thing, and like we it sounds very menial, but we had to knead bread. And I mean, when you go back to watch season one, you watch my kneading technique. It is not good. Put it this way: if anyone ever said, "Dean, make me some bread," I wouldn't eat it. I don't think it would be good for anybody involved. Yeah.
Well, what is the kneaded bread industry's loss is certainly your gain, and you're certainly another source of humor.
Oh, it's huge, obviously.
and forget about the pizza possibility either, too. It looks like that maybe out the window.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, I'd be terrible for actually any other job apart from what I'm doing right now. I'd be terrible. I wouldn't know what to do. I'm a solid 4 out of 10 human being when it comes to actually functioning in the real world. So I'm very, very thankful that Full Screen gave us the opportunity to keep making our show.
Now, this year, there is an overriding plot that goes from episode to episode, and it takes place with a bank robbery. It's also a bank robbery, which in the press release is called Almost Accidental. That's two very interesting words to use. And it involves Jack's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who plays that? Is that Jessica Hines who plays the girlfriend?
Oh, Jessica Hines plays our sort of employer, Marv. The woman who plays Jack's girlfriend is a wonderful woman called Andrea Vowles. So weirdly enough, I would arguably say in season one we didn't give her enough to do. Came to actually casting the character, it became so apparent that she was so much more talented and so much more giving and capable than the material we actually gave her. So when it came to writing season two, we were like, Andrea is a remarkable talent, and we should not waste this. So I think we've given her and Jessica Hines, who plays Marv, a lot of scenes together because they're two incredible talents. And like watching those two improvise, like I think we must have at least an hour and a half to 2 hours of improvised stuff between them. I would say that they are incredible. Arguably better than me and Jack, probably.
So anyway, Andrea's character as Jack's girlfriend ends up in jail because of this bank robbery. And then both of you, Jack and Dean, have this stolen money
yep.
that you have to keep around for whatever the deal is. And yet you have to make sure, make sure we don't get caught. So we have to make sure that everything is up and up. Nobody thinks that we're not having business unusual here. And that gets you to take even more bizarre jobs, like what?
We take on in episode four, Jack has to pretend. Well, he has an obsession with being respected. Because someone in a situation where your job is to be a temp, but you're kind of stuck in between jobs. But he's still yearning for this respect. But also totally ignoring the sort of bigger picture that's happening with Emma and this money and stuff. So in episode four, we're working at a costume store, and he's dressed as a doctor, to sort of get people to go, hey, that's a great costume. But he goes out in the same costume to get on his lunch break and ends up getting wound up in an actual accident and people mistaken for a doctor. And it's a lot of fun to take these sort of ridiculous scenarios and still keep them in the context of the plot. Like I say, we explore Jack's sort of need to be respected, but also the fact that he's completely ignoring, like you say, the money, this bigger plot that's happening.
Dean Dobbs is with us. He's half of Jack Howard, of All Trades. Now in second season on Full Screen. The service available on smart TV sets and smart devices. Also, as part of the schedule of the Audience Network on DirecTV and AT&T Juverse Cable System. He joins us live from London, where it's prime time now on this Monday night, first day of spring. Happy you're with us where you are, listening across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Appleband with you from New York, the other side of the Atlantic. If you have a question or comment for Dean, ring us, 646-652-2906. The 646-652-2906. If you're in the New York area, check out my Marvy Televised live video shows on BK Live. It's the Emmy-nominated talk culture lifestyle show about everything Brooklyn and beyond. If you're in New York, you can catch it. If you are a subscriber anywhere in the city on Verizon Fios TV, Brooklyn Manhattan on Charter Spectrum, in Brooklyn on RCN and Altice USA folding cables and systems. And then all my segments and the rest of BK Live is posted a day or two later at youtube.com/BrickTV. YouTube.com/BrickTV. BK Live runs from noon to 1 live and repeats throughout the day on BrickTV, the Emmy-nominated channel of all things Brooklyn and beyond. And don't forget, you can also check out my Tomorrow We Televised column at medianotes.com. That's the website that offers excellent media analysis and commentary from people like Jack Myers, Stuart Elliott, Ed Martin, and a whole bunch more. That's MediaVillage.com. And thank you to TVNewsCheck.com, by the way, for showcasing one of the stories I just did about virtual reality and augmented reality and the role smart TV sets and devices might play in having both VR and AR go mainstream. So check that out, both at MediaVillage.com and at TVNewsCheck.com. Thank you to Harry Jessel and Mark Miller, the editors of TV News Check, for putting my story and other MediaVillage stories, by the way, the last few months, on their wonderful website. Great companion of all things happening in the world of television. Now, Dean, what is this with this Game of Thrones invasion that's happening? And it's not just your program. It seems like everywhere from Game of Thrones that's been killed, beheaded, slaughtered, is showing up all over the place. We've got the people from Iron Fist that premiered Friday on Netflix. Jessica Drew, by the way, who was a co-star in Game of Thrones the last couple seasons. She has the Colleen Wing character. A lot of people think she is the best thing about that show. But you have some Game of Thrones people also. And it's like, what is this with this invasion of GOT stars?
Jacob Anderson, who plays Grey Worm in Game of Thrones, it was a very lucky turn of events. We worked for BBC Radio 1, and we did this documentary about confidence. And they said, this guy, Jacob Anderson, known as Riley Ritchie, Riley Ritchie is his musical name, and they said he wants to talk about confidence. And we were like, okay. And Jack at this point had not seen any Game of Thrones, but obviously, Dean being the cultured swine that he is, had absolutely seen every single episode of Game of Thrones. So I was appropriately freaking out. It turns out he was just one of the most welcoming and warm people that I'd ever met. I had to check and go, is it my fanboy sort of tendencies that are covering it? No, it turns out he's just one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And we started talking a little bit more after the interview and all that. We saw Captain America: Civil War together, so there was a little friendship going. And we were like, we would love you to be in our show if we get a second series. And he watched the first season; he absolutely loved it, and which was nice and lucky. And he thankfully found time in his very, very heavy Game of Thrones schedule. Which I believe when he came to film with us, he had literally just finished shooting a pretty big scene, at least from how he described it. The season 7 spoilers, but he was such a ridiculous honor to act next to, like I said, one being a talented actor, but also being one of the nicest people I've ever met, which is a huge plus. But yeah, no, he's an incredibly talented individual.
Dean, we have a call on this side of the Atlantic, and we are going to take it. Hello, you're on to Marvin Televised. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Rick. Great to hear you. How is your city doing with the loss of Villanova?
Yeah, that was a shocker, Simon. nobody expected that to happen.
Yeah, well, anyway, still a great team. They had a wonderful run last year to the Final Four and ultimately the championship, and they had a number one seed, so you got to be great to have that seed, and all the best to that team and their coach in the future. All right, go ahead with your question for Dean Dobbs out of London.
Hey, Dean.
Hi.
Wondering, well, first, congratulations on all your success, and I'm just wondering what steps did you guys take to move beyond YouTube and into doing, like, you know, stage shows and into television?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, good question. But damn. Like, one of the main things, like, we've always wanted to, like, make films and stuff like that. One of our forgive, like, sort of logistical vibe of this, but yeah, one of the main things we got is an agent, but also made our when we got this guy, we were kind of like, we love making sketches. We love, you know, getting great, talented people behind the camera to do, and working on the camera to up the production value, up the tone of what we're doing. We just said we want to make stuff. So we realized that what you need to do for that is we want to write stuff. And, like, we wrote scripts. We keep writing films, sending them out. And, you know, you just got to hope that somebody bites. Obviously it helps that we have a YouTube audience and stuff, but I'm trying to give you the best answer because it's a good question. We just kept writing, kept thrown out to people regardless if they wanted it or not. I guess it's the weird semi-showbiz equivalent of saying you don't know if you don't ask, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Persistence. Persistence wins. So congratulations, and, you know,
thank
I'm
you,
checking you guys out. Digging the show
thank
so
you.
Far.
Thank you so much, man. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Oh, stop it. I'm going to cry.
Thank
you,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Simon. Absolutely.
You're
take
right,
care.
Rick. Thanks for being. You guys, take care. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How long do you want to do this? To do this series, have you thought about? Do you think about it as a year by year basis, or have you developed like a long term 4 or 5 year outlook for where your characters, your involvement with the show, the jobs, etc., where this all goes?
Oh yeah, I mean at the moment, obviously the moment we wrote the first season, we were thinking about where we could go with it, but then like obviously you get a second season, you think like hot damn, that's a sequel. And you know, everybody has opinions on what, you know, what makes a sequel good and what makes a sequel bad. So we had to really sort of sit down and go, what do we like about our, you know, continuations of things that we love? We just had to, go, what do we want out of it? How do we keep developing it? And in terms of the actual, like, sort of Jack and Dean of All Trades story that we're going for, we think we have an idea of where, you know, it needs to go. It's tough, obviously, because, you know, who knows, like, between now and then, we could come up with all sorts of different stories. But, the main goal with Jack and Dean of All Trades is, just to tell the best story we can in the most amount of time. Because, obviously, you never want to stretch out something for too long. And, if Full Screen said, hey, 27 seasons, we'd be like, okay, well, let's figure out how we can do that. But main career goal, though, at the end of the day, is I want to be in Star Wars. I want to be in an X-Wing. I want to hold Mark Hamill.
Jack and Dean of All Trades. The second season is now running on full screen. That is the service available on most smart TV sets and most smart TV-making devices like Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, Shield, etc., etc. But if you have cable on AT&T's Uverse or DirecTV, you can also catch Jack and Dean and other full screen series and specials on the Audience Network. So check your local listings for where that block of full screen shows is playing. And for more details about the series and other full screen attractions online, here's where you go: www.fullscreen.com. That's www.fullscreen.com. Dean Dobbs of Jack and Dean of All Trades. It's been a wonderful half hour with you. Congratulations on the success of the show here and across the globe. Looking forward to a great season two and many more to come. And give our best to your colleague, Jack Howard, as well. We're sorry I couldn't make it today, but we wish you both the very, very best.
No, thank you very much. Like, you've been an absolute joy. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I hope, thank you, obviously. Yeah.
You're very, very welcome, Dean. It's been a pleasure all the way. Take care. All the greatest to both of you.
Cool. Thank you, man. Take care.
Dean Dobbs of Jack and Dean in All Trades. They are the creators, the co-stars, executive producers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, they are on fullscreen.com and on full screen, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, YouTube, or Uverse, the Uverse cable systems, DirecTV through the Orange Network. And yes, they're also carried on YouTube.com as well. It's also carried on many smart TV sets and smart device. Again, to find out more, fullscreen.com. And we want to wish Jack the very best. Jack Howard, sorry I couldn't make it, but maybe we can have Jack and Dean back together. Jean is one delightful person. When we come back on our shores, we'll focus on a new series on sci-fi that premieres tomorrow night. It's all about competition and cosplay. Ian Malahan, executive producer of Cosplay Melee, will join us live after we pause after the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Ring Rust Radio, the internet voice of professional wrestling. Check it out every Wednesday, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And again, that's the BTR 24/7 for you at YouTube.com. And our show and other Blog Talk Radio shows available 24/7 on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go online or visit an Apple store near you. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised for this first day of spring 2017. And welcome to you just joining us after the top of the hour. So I'm an Apple Man with you live from New Haven, New York. 48 degrees at the top of the hour. We may be heading 50 before all is said and done. And we're happy to have you aboard. We're expecting another guest any moment. And if you have a question or comment for that guest, give us a call. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room open as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And here we go, our friend from Philadelphia, who was with us by voice from Philly in the last half hour. He is still on the line. And don't forget that while the phone is on the air, you can get to this by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We are reading Ian Malahan. He is the executive producer of Sci-Fi's latest new series. It's also the latest competition series, and it premieres tomorrow night at 10 Eastern Pacific Time. It's called Cosplay Melee. And what will happen each week on the program is that four of the world-class folks in the universe of cosplay will compete, and they'll compete in everything from characters to costumes. The program is hosted by Yvette Nicole Brown. You may remember her as one of the co-stars of Community. Was also recently in the BET miniseries, The New Edition Story, which did very well back in January. She was also on Girlfriends. And yes, she does have a little bit of a sci-fi background because one of her films was Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. So we're waiting Ian to come on the line. And as soon as we get him on the line, we will bring him to you again. Cosplay Melee is going to be on Sci-Fi tomorrow night at 10, 9 Central and 10 Eastern, 10 Pacific Time, right on Sci-Fi. So, Ian, if you can hear me, get on the line, 646-652-2906. That's 646 652-2906, or if you're sci fi, could let us know in the chat room what's going on. You can do that. Get in there at SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While we're waiting for Ian, let's let you know that coming up on our program this Friday, we will have a lot of unscripted stuff for you, kicking it off with the Chief Executive Officer and one of the key people in the world of scripted television from Fremantle Media's original production division behind such shows as Deadliest Catch, Phil Siegel. We've had him on the show before. He is a wonderful guest. And then, the executive producer of the popular Nat Geo Wild series approaching 100 episodes before the end of the month, the incredible Dr. Paul Ted Duvall. You've seen this series. Mr. Paul, or Dr. Paul, is an extraordinary human being in the world of veterinary medicine for animals. And what he does sometimes goes, in fact, many times goes, above and beyond the call of duty. And I think Ted will be able to give us a story or two about Mr. Paul and his incredible doctorate work. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tamami Televised. And then next Monday, have we got a lead guest for you, the star of the new BET series, Rebel. I saw a clip of her work last year when BET had a fall season preview. This is the first of two series that John Singleton will be executive producing and overseeing, one of them being Rebel, which premieres next Wednesday on BET. The other is Snowfall, which will premiere later this year on FX. Her name is Danielle Monet Truitt, and her performance is powerful, and she is yet another one of this incredible array of breakout performers that we've been seeing on television series all year long. And then there's a brand new series that you may not have heard about, but daytime television is getting a big whiff of it. It's called Live from Studio 6B. It covers everything from politics to pop culture. It's produced here in New York. I believe it is at Rockefeller Center, NBC Studios. And the program is not just running simultaneously on local television stations, but also on smart TV sets and devices. And Vincent Buda, one of the co-hosts of Live from Studio 6B, will be our guest. That is all coming up next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tamami Televised. And we hope to also have Vince or one of the other co-hosts or producers on VK Live earlier that afternoon on Brick TV. All right, we are waiting Ian Malahan from Cosplay Mailing to join us. We'll wait a couple more minutes. Ian, if you can hear me, get on the line, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name, and let us know where it's at. If anyone from Sci-Fi is listening in, get in contact with Ian, have him give the call, or let us know what the story is, whether he had something tied up that he can't make the show today or whatever. So we'll wait about another minute or two, and if we don't get Ian, we'll call it a day and reschedule him for an upcoming episode. Incidentally, next week, we hope to bring you three episodes, that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at our hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Tell Us. Why? There's so much going on, end of the month, and a lot of stuff happening in April, a lot of new series and developments that we expect will be happening in April on all sorts of networks, and we want to try to cover as many of them as we can on our show. So we want to get a head start and maybe carry some of them. It has everything from the premiere of the long-awaited Neil Gaiman series American Gods on Starz at the end of the month. There's also the long-awaited sequel to The Kennedys After Camelot on Reels Channels. There's also Genius, the new Nat Geo scripted series. And right now, joining us live is the executive producer of Cosplay Malay on Sci-Fi, Ian Malahan. Ian, welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you, Simon?
Fine, thank you. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Los Angeles, California.
All right. Well, it's great to have you aboard. Ian, tell us about Cosplay Malay. How does this take the cosplay universe a new step forward?
Well, it's a it's a competition series, and it just sort of brings the best of the best of cosplay to our workshop and to our stage, and it challenges them in ways that they have never been challenged before. We would say it's the ultimate cosplay challenge. It's the ultimate cosplay competition.
Cosplay got a lot of attention on your network and other places a couple of years ago. How has this fan base, it's like an art form. How has it evolved in the last couple of years, and how does that factor in terms of putting this particular competition together?
I mean, in general, cosplay and the convention culture is just exploding, you know, exponentially, just, you know, not just in the United States, but across the world. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of interest in craft. There's a lot of interest in, you know, how you can kind of start with humble materials and turn those humble materials into these just, you know, these great iconic characters. You know, and I think that that the timing was right for a competition in this space. And you know, and we were happy to, you know, we were happy to put it together.
I mentioned before you came on that what is going to make this competition unique starting tomorrow night is that it's not just about the costumes that people wear, but it's also about their characters, their attitude toward the costumes, a lot of things that they're going to be bringing to life in some very unusual ways. Explain how this competition works and like what kind of things did you want to bring out from these contestants?
So the competition breaks out into two rounds. You know, four cosplayers are invited to the workshop, where they're greeted by our host, the phenomenal Yvette Nicole Brown, and they're given a theme. And the theme can range from anything. It could be anime or space operas or even a specific series, a specific trope. In the first round, which is it takes place over 8 hours. It's kind of a one-day challenge. They must kind of create either an accessory or a prop that's been specified by Yvette. And then they just have to scramble to kind of come up with their character and this accessory, this prop, and create it in a very, very short amount of time. You know, once that's completed, then they go before the judges. Christian Beckman, who is just a phenomenal world-class Hollywood costume creator. He's done everything from Tron to Watchmen to J.J. Abrams' Star Trek and The Hunger Games. And then we also have another judge, Leanna Vamp, who is just a, you know, she's a world-class cosplayer. She's a professional cosplayer and a model. And so she really kind of speaks to things from the point of view of the cosplayer, while Christian speaks to kind of craftsmanship. They go before the judges and they pitch their prop and their character. And, you know, then after all four go before the judges, they have a really tough decision. They eliminate one, unfortunately, who then goes home. And then the three go on to create their full costume. Now, there's a wrinkle that's kind of thrown at them, you know, a kind of a second challenge that they have to incorporate into their costume build. But then they also have to kind of develop this character and a backstory along with the costume itself. So it's a complete transformation by the end. And then they walk a runway. We reveal the costumes for the judges, and you know, it's just a spectacle. You know, it's a spectacle, and it's a wonderful showcase for these people who really truly become the art themselves. There are so many competition shows out there, I think, where it's kind of, you know, it's something where they're creating something outside of themselves. This is a show where the people themselves, the contestants themselves, become the art themselves.
And the art is showcased starting tomorrow night on Cosplay Melee, the sci-fi's new series and new reality competition series, beginning tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. We're speaking live in Los Angeles with Ian Malahan. He is the executive producer of the series, and he is live this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appleman with you live from New York, 48 degrees at the top of the hour. We've picked up to 50 here in the New York metro area before this first day of spring is all over with. And we invite you to be part of the program. Just give us a ring at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Rubin, our friends in Philadelphia, is in the room. A lot of competition shows, no matter what the category is or the environment is, they sometimes use an ingredient or an object, like Chopped as a mystery ingredient, or Guy's Grocery Games, or Cooks vs. Cons will have a special flavoring or food type that you use to try to get the contestants out of their comfort zone. How do you determine what objects for a competition like this do you pick to accomplish the same end? Get these contestants immediately being creative and willing to break out of their stereotype or what they think they can't do.
You know, for us, I think we're a little bit different than Chops, because I think that what what Chop does is Chop takes really, you know, exotic ingredients a lot of the time, or things that were are maybe not necessarily super palatable immediately, and they ask the contestants, or they, you know, the competition is really to incorporate those ingredients into a dish that is consumable. For us, you know, some of the things that we present to the contestants, you know, to kind of, you know, as part of the challenge to incorporate into their costume, are things that are everyday things that they're everyday things that can be transformed. And that's a lot of what cosplay is. A lot of what cosplay is taking something that's like I said before, it's a humble material. It's something that you could get at the local hardware store for a couple of bucks, but with a lot of imagination and some hard work and some know-how, you can turn it into something magical. And that's what we want to see. We want to see that magic. So, you know, we give them a little bit of a, you know, it is a challenge, but it's also a little bit of a push to expand their imaginations and take this thing that you may walk down, you know, buy down the aisle at a Home Depot, you know, on any given day, and turn it into something otherworldly.
Once they get the ingredient, and it's the object, and it's on your market to go, how much time do they have to complete the task?
So the first challenge is 8 hours, like I mentioned. Once they get past that and then they get their object, then they have 2 days to complete their full costumes.
Based on the competition you have, when do competitors hit a wall? Is there some common time when these competitors, world-class as they are, hit a wall or hit some sort of like a barrier that they have to like suck it up, you know, go with the gut and say, you know, I may look foolish, I may look crazy, I don't know, you know, this idea may be like the weirdest thing I've ever thought of, even in the world of cosplay, but I'm going to, you know, just get over this hump.
You know, I'm actually impressed with the way that these guys problem solve in general. You know, we've had all sorts of things happen. We've had, you know, people create patterns and then lose them. You know, we've had materials that didn't react with paint the right way. We've had all kinds of things happen. And I'm just, you know, completely impressed with the cosplayer's ability to adapt. And I think that's key in a competition format like this, is the ability to think quickly on your feet. I haven't really seen anybody, you know, not be able to kind of roll with the punches and do something that's still great. It may not have been as great as they had, you know, hopefully, you know, had kind of wanted it to be at first, but, you know, but sometimes in those situations, those innovations actually push their costumes to be something more than what they had ever anticipated in the first place. So it kind of goes both ways. But, you know, these guys are they're pretty seasoned, and they're seasoned by the culture itself. There's a term called con crunch, and that's the time, you know, that's the time leading up immediately to a convention where, you know, all these cosplayers are just scrambling to make their costumes, you know, exactly what they want them to be. So we've sort of taken that, you know, that con crunch, and, you know, and just put it into an even, you know, tighter time frame, but in a place where they have all kinds of unbelievable resources and tools at their disposal.
Yeah. Ian, your show has a title that really rubs off the tongue, Cosplay Melee. Was it a very easy title to get or a very easy title to put together?
You know, it was, it's interesting. You know, we wanted something that felt competitive and we wanted something that felt strong. And there were a couple of working titles kind of floating around, but it didn't have the same sort of strength as Cosplay Melee. So, you know, we just kind of kept coming back to it and it stuck.
And it rhymes too. Cosplay Melee begins tomorrow night on Sci-Fi, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. We've got the executive producer, Ian Allahan, with us live from Los Angeles. Happy he's aboard, and you are too, wherever you're listening to us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. Got a few more minutes with Ian, and we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 049. Again, coming up on Friday's episode from Original Productions, the Fremantle Media Division, where the kingpins of unscripted television, Chief Executive Officer Phil Siegel. Then Ted Duvall, the executive producer of The Incredible Dr. Paul, approaching its 100th episode later this month on Nat Geo Wild. And next Monday, we have the star of new BET series Rebel, executive producer overseen by John Singleton, Danielle Monáe-Truitt. She's another one of the great breakout talents that is hitting TV series all over the place in 2017. And from the new daytime series Live from Studio 6V, available both on local TV stations and smart TV sets and devices all over the country, co-host Vincent Buda. All coming up this Friday and next Monday at the same hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. What made you bet Nicole Brown a perfect host for you?
Wow. I mean, talk about the perfect host. She really is the perfect host. I've worked on a bunch of different shows, and she's not only is she a natural host, she's just a really, really funny person. She's a really warm person. She's really supportive of the cosplayers. And what makes her appropriate for us is she's a fangirl of all of the different worlds that inspire these cosplayers to create the amazing things they create. I mean, she's notoriously known as the Walking Dead's number one fan. She's on the Talking Dead a bunch with Chris Hardwick to talk about her fandom of the show. She's been on panels at Comic-Con. She's a huge Star Wars fan. So all of the same things that inspire these incredibly talented cosplayers to create are things that she's just really enamored by. So she speaks a common language with them, and I think that's key for a show like this.
Is this the most unique show you've ever done?
Yeah, it honestly is. It's it's a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, I like watching, I'll watch anyone who's good at doing their thing. I can watch that for a bit. I like watching people with skill and what these guys are able to do feels it's more than craftsmanship. Sometimes it kind of borders on like an alchemy. It's like magic, and it's a joy. It can be difficult in the editing room because there's just so much great stuff, and there's so many great moments of takeaway for cosplay fans or craft fans in general, that it's hard to get it all into an episode. But man, these people are just like, it's just amazing. Like, they're making these things out of like floor mats, foam floor mats, some paint and a few tools that anybody could pick up, and the transformations are just unreal. So, I would definitely say it's one of the most creative things I've ever kind of endeavored to be a part of.
A lot of competition shows have developed like special tournaments, open themselves to teenagers or even children participating. Food Network's been a big player in that with their Kids Baking Championships and something Chopped doing Teen Editions, Kids Dish, and so on. Is that in your game plan if you get additional seasons of the show on Sci-Fi?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I still think, with just 6 episodes for this first season in order, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of all the different themes that we can tackle, the different elements of pop culture that we can explore, even tap into the vast, array of talent out there, as cosplayers. So, I think that, what we're doing now is dynamic enough, week to week, that I think it'll keep people entertained. But, it is one of those things where, like, the sky's the limit. One of the things that I'd love to see, probably sooner than later, is, like, there were a ton of talented people that, that were either early exits, or were heartbreakingly close to winning. And, it keeps me up at night, you know, thinking that that these guys probably deserve another shot. So that's something that you might be able to see coming up, is, you know, some familiar and friendly fan favorites and, you know, people kind of coming back and being able to do, you know, to take on the competition again. I think that would definitely be in the future.
Yvette Nicole Brown hosts Cosplay Melee starting tomorrow night on Sci-Fi. It's 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local listings for where Sci-Fi runs in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and network online, here's where you go, www.sci-fi.com. It's www.sci-fi.com. Ian Hallahan, thank you so much again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this new series on Sci-Fi off the ground starting tomorrow night, and hopefully this is the beginning of a wonderful and very versatile run. And, of course, kudos to all the contestants, and all the best of luck to them.
Thanks, Simon. I really appreciate you taking the time. And, yeah, I hope everybody checks us out and enjoys the show.
Sure they will, Ian. Thanks again for making the time for us. We appreciate it. All the best. Take care.
All the best. You too. Bye-bye.
Ian Hallahan from Cosplay Melee joining us live from Los Angeles. A big thank you to all of our guests on both sides of the Atlantic for joining us today on Tomorrow We Tell Live, and of course, all of you listening in on this first day of spring. Coming up on Friday, Phil Siegel from Original Productions, one of the key players of the unscripted television movement, will be my lead guest, followed by Ted Duvall, the executive producer of Nat Geo Wild, The Incredible Dr. Paul, approaching 100 episodes. And next Monday on Tomorrow We Tell Live, we'll kick it off with the star of the new BET series, Rebel, premiering 1 week from Wednesday, Danielle Monáe Truitt, and from the new daytime series, live from Studio 6B, available through TV stations and smart TV sets and devices, co-host Vincent Buda. It's all coming up this Friday, next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Tell Live. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed? Well, go to our homepage anytime you like and enjoy. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And, of course, 24/7, check out the podcast available on iTunes.com. You can download it to your smartphone or tablet. Take us on the go anytime you like. And don't forget, you can also check out our show and other Blog Talk Radio programs on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, well, order it online or go to an Apple store near you. What do you mean by our guest today? And what's your thoughts for where TV is at and where it is going? We want to hear from you, so sound off at SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. I do return emails in 24 hours. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UVTSimonTWBT. That's at UVTSimonTWBT. However you communicate with us, we appreciate it. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. And he tells Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Tell Live is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For a 30-day trial and a free audiobook, you know where to go, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Tell Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Enjoy the rest of your first day of spring 2017. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. So be with us and be safe and be great out there until then. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.